This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency. Your Israeli property is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, Anthony.
Boker Tov. I know we promised that we would talk a little bit earlier this morning to try and get through some of the smaller things. And I hope that everybody got through a good Tu B'Shvat, had the dried fruit and everything that goes with it. And I wanted to start with a story that has been carried in some Israeli papers about the fact that a South African rugby has withdrawn an invitation to an Israeli rugby team to play in a competition which is due to take place towards the end of March. This is the Tel Aviv Heat team that apparently was invited to compete in a second tier type competition in South Africa, including teams from Spain, Kenya, Namibia, Zimbabwe, and of course a number of South African sides that were due to have taken place. The invitation was issued on Thursday, and apparently on Friday the uninvitation was issued because according to the South African rugby president, a decision has been taken after they listened to opinions of important stakeholder groups. And according to a statement that he issued, we have taken this decision to avoid the likelihood of the competition becoming a source of division, notwithstanding the fact that Israel is a full member of World Rugby and of the International Olympic Committee. So I just wondered what you guys were thinking about this uninvitation and whether they might not have been better advised not to issue the invitation in the first place rather than to take a day to withdraw it. And also, who are these important stakeholders that might have influenced the decision to uninvite the Israeli team? Just a few questions that were being asked locally about how that happens.
So interesting how our posturing on what's happening between Israelis and Palestinians actually makes us redundant in any attempt for us to negotiate and be a mediator in the conflict. And South Africa really has a lot to bring to the table, but it's made us obsolete, Anthony.
Unfortunately, it's true because of the experience that South Africa has been through with the transition that we've seen over the past couple of decades. Unfortunately, South Africa falls out on a very, very anti-Israeli path, as we see not only in this particular example, but in many other examples as well. A little sad that it came to the rugby field, the sports field, where such a statement was made. I know that the Tel Aviv Heat have been competing in competitions around Europe. They're in European competitions, so it wouldn't be any different if they were to go to South Africa. They've been welcomed wherever they've been playing in the tournaments that they've been involved with. And a lot of international players playing in the Tel Aviv Heat team. It's not only Israelis, but also a number of other players from elsewhere. So, yeah, I'm a little unfortunate. But unfortunately, we have to move swiftly on because the earthquakes and another one has taken place this morning have really consumed the region in a major sort of way. Two earthquakes yesterday, one in the early morning and one a little bit later in the morning, both of them over 7.5 on the Richter scale. And again, this morning, another earthquake was felt, 5.6 on the Richter scale, centering around that area, southern Turkey towards the Syrian border. Major devastation, more than 4,000 people already claimed to have been killed, many, many more missing, many people having been injured, huge destruction. There are videos everywhere showing blocks of flats, buildings simply collapsing within seconds from the earthquakes. And of course, people around Israel have felt them as well. There was no doubt yesterday morning during mid-morning that a lot of people felt it. There was rumbling. There were light fittings swaying. There were people feeling quite nervous about the possibility of a big earthquake in Israel, which is, of course, long overdue. So, yeah, the earthquake has certainly taken over the news this morning.
Yeah. So my son said that when he turned on the taps, that all the water was brown. And it wasn't just him. It was right throughout Tel Aviv. What did you feel yesterday?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't. But the people around me in my office all came running in to say, did you feel that? And I said, no. And they all said, well, the lights were swaying and people certainly felt tremors. So there was no doubt at all that I'm the outlier here who was perhaps concentrating on something else and other people were waiting for this. The 7.5 on the Richter scale clearly is very, very significant and frightening scenes from Turkey. And the good news is that the IDF has already responded and that a delegation of emergency rescuers has already landed in Turkey this morning in order to help out. Operation Olive Branches is on its way, and a delegation of 150 IDF soldiers, serving soldiers, reserve soldiers, emergency rescuers, all types of people already on the ground in Turkey this morning to help the Turkish with coping with the aftermath of that earthquake. The emergency search and rescue team, already on the ground looking to see what they can do. By the way, yesterday afternoon, the initial team already arrived in Turkey from Israel to scout out the area to see what needed to be done to assess the situation. An emergency field hospital has been made available as well to the Turks, and Israel has offered to set up a field hospital, which of course is one of the things that Israel does really, really well around the world. So that's been offered and is ready to roll. The team of 150 that arrived this morning also came with emergency supplies. So I think the initial task will be search and rescue to try and help the Turks, because so many people buried under the rubble, those buildings collapsing. So the Israeli search and rescue team already out there ready to start their work. Field hospital, also lots and lots of supplies going along, and apparently another plane load of goods ready to leave for Turkey later today to assist with the effort. So a massive operation having been launched, Operation Olive Branches having been launched by the IDF in order to help Turkey. And it's quite amazing how, if you roll the clock back a year or so, when the diplomatic relations between Israel and Turkey were very tenuous, to say the least, it would have been difficult to imagine a team of 150 specialists arriving within 24 hours in order to assist with a huge emergency that has arisen in Turkey.
Anthony, I know it's Operation Olive Branches. Is Israel going to offer the same support to northern Syria?
It has already been offered.
Yeah.
Israel is indiscriminate, does not discriminate when it comes to emergency work. And you know, let's just say it as it is, that Israel has already helped Syria in many, many ways. I happened to visit a hospital in Sfat already a number of years ago to make a visit to someone who was unwell there. And the hospital was full of Syrian refugees in that hospital in Sfat. So there can be little doubt that Israel has already offered Syria help, whether it be to individuals or whether it be on a national level. It was also quite well known that there was an IDF field hospital that was set up just south of the Syrian border and was treating many, many Syrians who needed medical assistance, who came across the border and took advantage of the IDF assistance. So yes, the offer to help Syria has also been made, although in fairness, as far as we can work out, the need for help is much more acute in Turkey than it is in Syria. When you see some of the devastation that has gone down in Turkey, that may well be because we have more access to information from Turkey than from Syria, and I accept that. But
even though both epicenters were in Turkey,
even though Syria and Israel are officially not on diplomatic relations and in fact are still officially in a state of war, the IDF will not discriminate, and that's already been made clear, that to the extent that the Syrian authorities will allow and require Israeli help and support in Syria, that would be made available to the Syrians as well. But clearly Israel has a lot to offer where this is concerned. Unfortunately, we have a lot of experience in responding to emergency situations, and as a result of that, we've built up amazing capabilities, and those capabilities are now coming to good use when a situation like this arises. And I'm guessing that Israel is going to have to be working in Turkey for quite some time when you see the extent of the devastation. And the earthquakes are not over yet, because we're still feeling 5.5 on the Richter scale today, and the after tremors are likely to continue. So this is a very, very serious situation that has arisen in Turkey and to a lesser degree in Syria.
How ready is Israel for earthquakes?
Good question. Lots and lots of questions about how ready Israel is, and it was noticeable yesterday on the emergency WhatsApp, the emergency Telegram group that's set up by the Home Front Command, that they were sending out reminders to people as to what we should do in the case of an earthquake in Israel. Israel has made itself more ready by going through an entire program of reinforcing some of the older buildings that were not built to earthquake standards. So there's been a huge program of upgrading and improving the quality of some of the older buildings, and also improving their strength, their ability to withstand earthquakes. Having said that, there are still many, many, many Israeli buildings that are not built to standard, that would not withstand a significant earthquake. And I'm not sure that we are, as a nation, we are properly ready for the possibility of an earthquake. But we do know that big earthquakes happen in Israel. There have been earthquakes before, although it has been something like 80-odd years, maybe even more, since the last major earthquake took place in Israel. But we do find ourselves residing right on a fault line that runs down the Jordan Valley. So the inevitable is inevitable. There will be an earthquake in Israel at some point. The question simply is when that will happen. And whether or not we are properly ready for it is a big question. Some people feel we're not ready for it at all. I think that some preparations have been made, but clearly nowhere near enough. And the only answer that we will get is when, chas v'chalila, there will be an earthquake here, and then we'll be able to see exactly how things are done. So it's very, very difficult to assess our state of readiness. That answer, I hope, won't come soon. But that's the only way that we'll really get a proper answer.
Yeah. All right. Staying with demolitions and buildings coming down, there was a building in East Jerusalem that was due to be demolished. It's been delayed by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. What was the building? Why was it being demolished? And why was it delayed?
Well, this was a building that had been constructed illegally. And it is extremely sensitive, the whole issue of illegal construction in the Arab sector in general, and in East Jerusalem in particular. There is a lot of, there are many attempts to try to somehow circumvent the laws, the building rules, to try to potentially take a little bit more land here or a little bit less land there. So lots and lots of sensitivities, political sensitivities around the way in which buildings are constructed. And there had been a warning that the building, which was declared illegal, would be demolished. Apparently, the Prime Minister has taken a piece of advice from the head of the Shabak, Ronen Bar, and also from the new IDF chief of General Staff, Herzi Halevi. Apparently, the two of them came together to issue what is considered to be something of an unusual warning to the Prime Minister, which apparently led him to postpone the demolition of this building, which is located in Wadi Kadum, which is a neighborhood of East Jerusalem. And apparently the warning said that if that building was demolished, that it could lead to a large-scale flare-up, especially if the demolition is carried out during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which it is. And so apparently we understand that upon receiving this piece of advice, the Prime Minister immediately ordered the cancellation of the demolition, which was actually planned for today and was due to have been carried out under the direction of the new National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who had already briefed the police as to what they should be doing in order to carry out this demolition. And Ben-Gvir was quite adamant that the demolition has not been cancelled and that he wasn't even giving away the fact that it had been planned for today. So he simply said that the building has been labeled as illegal and that it will be demolished. The question simply is when and how. And so he wasn't even willing to acknowledge that the plan had been laid down for it to be done today and that there's been some sort of a delay. He just said it will be done at the time of our choosing when we decide to do it. And a lot of controversy because, of course, demolishing a building like that is highly controversial. The building in the first place is very controversial because it obviously doesn't comply with the building specifications and the rules that apply to the local area. And it's come to the Prime Minister for him to decide that it needs to be demolished or, in this particular case, not demolished today, at least until further notice.
Absolutely insane. Anthony, we're going to have to talk about this new Israeli town tomorrow. We did try earlier, but we weren't counting on such a long discussion about Turkey and Syria. So,
we can have a chance to talk about a new town that will be set up, apparently called Hanun, announced by the Prime Minister at the cabinet meeting on Sunday. Let's talk a little bit more about that, if we can, tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you so much once again for your time and for sharing your insights and your expertise. Thank you, Anthony Reich.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.